Now, a new report produced by Diversity Council Australia has found that culturally diverse women aren't benefiting from the equality initiatives and programs that are currently in place in the business sector. Now, after speaking to over 300 female leaders from different cultural backgrounds and asking about their experiences in the Australian workforce, they discovered that a gap between ethnic and gender policies had allowed the group to slip through the cracks of equality initiatives. Dr. Demetria Groutsos is a senior lecturer at the University of Sydney Business School and co-researcher on the report. Doctor, very good morning to you.
Hi, Nick.
Now, why do we think that culturally diverse women are not benefiting from these equality programs?
I think your introduction was significant in highlighting that these women fall through the cracks. Historically, we've had laws and policies that have focused either on gender or on race issues, and there's never really been a bridge between the two. Fast forward to the 90s when we had policies and initiatives emerge within the workplace from a diversity management perspective, diversity and inclusion perspective, and again, this has bubbled away as policies have focused on either one group or the other group. As a result of that, culturally diverse women who experience a double jeopardy given the intersection between their gender and their cultural diversity end up falling through the cracks. So this is why culturally diverse women don't end up in leadership positions.
So the biggest issue seems to be that we're handling ethnic diversity and gender policy as two wildly separate things. I mean, is there a better way of bringing that together?
Of course there is. There definitely is. We need, in the first instance, to recognise that there is that there are intersections between particular identity characteristics or demographic characteristics, and we can have a philosophical argument about the difference between those two areas. We also need to start acknowledging the fact that these women aren't risky appointments. Many of the women who we spoke with indicated that they're considered to be risky appointments. We still have this historical overhang of the Western leadership model. Again, this is something that needs to be dismantled. We need to have a conversation about what other leadership models are out there that look different, that sound different, that impact differently. So we need to start having these conversations, and this report is a first step in having these conversations.
Is the Australian business sector ready to have these conversations? Are they ready to come to the table and actually speak?
Yes, they are. They definitely are. For me, what's most astounding is that they're opening their doors. They're opening their doors to us to go in there, to have conversations with their emerging leaders within their organisations to find out what they can do better. So rather than us, you know, picking holes at them and saying, what are they doing wrong? They're actually doing a lot that's right in having these conversations. Yes, we have systemic issues that need to be, pulled apart. Mm. But these organisations are standing up and saying, you know, we want to do things better, and we know that we can leverage these skills to gain, to capitalise on them. So yes, they are very ready.
So, I mean, your research clearly shows ambition is there, the skill set is there, the industry is hurting itself by not taking on these women. Yeah. How do we start dismantling that systemic bias?
Can I answer that in a few minutes? Well, not really.
No.
But I think in the first instance, we need to start singing from the hilltops that there is a definite business case to doing this, and that's what business really pricks their ears up to. You can reach much broader markets. You know, 40% of the women that we surveyed indicated that they have a bi and multicultural identity, and two-thirds of them are multilingual. These are key signs of creativity and product and process innovation. They also consider themselves to be boundary spanners, so able to, like chameleons, operate between different cultures and different markets. If organisations, even on that very small scale, start thinking about, gosh, what other customers and clients and markets can I have access to by leveraging the skills and capabilities of these women, they will start dismantling those barriers, because they have a lot to gain from it. So I think the conversation is starting, and with the conversation will come change.
As you said, it's about removing that kind of unconscious bias towards the Western leadership model.
Absolutely. For me, it's an unconscious and sometimes a conscious bias. So I think it's become so ingrained that, you know, we tend to make excuses for our unconscious bias. But it is part of, it's a default mechanism. You know, this is the over 50 male is, from an Anglo-Celtic background, is that sort of image we have. We need new role models. We need to start shaking things up a little bit, and I think we'll be all the better for it.
I couldn't agree more. Dr. Dimitria Gritsis, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
That was Diversity Council Australia's researcher, as well as senior lecturer at the University of Sydney Business School, Dr. Dimitria Gritsis, talking about her report, Cracking the Cultural Glass Ceiling.